Well, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. This Sunday is really special for two reasons. I think today is Palm Sunday. Yeah? Let's try that one more time. It's Palm Sunday today. Yeah. Okay, growing up as a child in India, I felt that this was a very special Sunday to me. Not because it was about the sermon or the preaching or anything there, but it was more that it was a Sunday that we would all go to church. We would be given two palm leaves, okay? So one palm leaf in your right hand, and the other palm leaf, you actually could fold it as a, over there. Yeah, that's it. The palm leaf, you fold it as a cross, and you get to get out of church, walk around the community singing hymns, definitely a hymn that has hallelujah and hosanna and that. And so we would do that, and we come back to church, and there are a lot of goodies. The good news about that is there was no service. And that was the only service we got to get out of the church and walk into the community. And very interesting thing, no sermon. But I'm not going to spare you guys today. The second most important thing about Sunday today is it's our baptism Sunday. Okay, how many of you have not witnessed a baptism Sunday in our church before? Anybody in this crowd? Okay. Strong recommendation. Get out there, get some brunch, and come back around 12:30. You'll be amazed what you see here. That's a tank there. We don't sprinkle, we dunk people here. Okay? So it's the real deal. And moreover, I think it's very exciting because it's interesting to listen to all the testimonies of people who actually who have committed their life to Christ and basically trying to the work of transformation that takes place in their lives. And you know that Jesus is alive and he's still in the business of transforming people's lives. And so that's really encouraging to watch. Moving on, as we continue with our 40 days of faith series, we will be talking about the last parable in the series. We are being studying some of the parables from the book of Matthew, and today we will be doing the parable of the talents. If you turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. So that's what we will be talking about. So I'm going to read it very quickly, pause wherever I have to, and after that we will just get into the teaching that's behind this parable. So I'm starting at verse 14 here. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which is the ESV. For it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Highlight that or underline that, that's very important. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Another one to highlight or underline. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 24, he also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. Verse 26, but his master answered, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, O Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord Jesus Christ, to what you have to share and tell us today, Lord Jesus. I just pray that you enlighten us with your word, O Lord Jesus. Give us the right direction and just guide us, Lord Jesus Christ, through your holy word. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Whenever you have to listen to Jesus speaking, I think one important thing is you should be aware of the audience that he is speaking to. Who are the people that he is speaking to? In this case, it is important to know that this parable was actually presented to the disciples. Okay, Jesus had just walked away. Some background information. Jesus had just walked away from the temple after warning the leaders of the temple for being hypocrites. So Matthew 24 verse 3 says this: "As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Because the disciples heard what Jesus was saying at the temple and they needed more information on that, and so they gathered there. So Jesus starts teaching them this series of parables after that. So one thing to note is Jesus always preached to non-believers or the multitudes, as we hear, and Jesus always taught his disciples who are believers. It's very important. So every time Jesus speaks in the Bible, it'll be very important to know the context of which he's presenting. Because once you're a believer, your understanding and comprehension is a lot more easier and better, and he can build on that. But when he preaches, he usually preaches to a non-believer. It's more like this series of parables. It's almost like, how many of you know what the Netflix abyss is? Anybody here watch Netflix? You know what the Netflix abyss is? The Netflix abyss is when you start with season 1, episode 1. 2 days later, you're still sitting in the same set of clothes. Probably got up to go to the bathroom. And you come back and probably got up just to have a snack or something like that. And you are sitting 2 days later, season 6, episode 8. And you do not know how it happened. Right? That's what happened. So this is a human director who can keep your attention. Just imagine the disciples sitting at the feet of the creator of this universe, telling him the wonders of God's kingdom, and in a series of parables. So we often take the parables individually and try to read that. But I would say, read through the parables back and forth, because they all connected like a series. First point to you folks is, what is a talent? We've been speaking about talent. So what is a talent? This is exactly what the definition of a talent was in the ancient times. A talent was an ancient unit of weight and value in Greece, Rome, and the Middle East. The talent was the heaviest or largest biblical unit of measurement for weight, equal to about 75 pounds or 35 kilograms. So that's what a talent used to be. Some references in the Bible I have here, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it. Exodus 38:24. "All the gold that was used for the work in all the construction of the sanctuary, the gold from the offering was 29 talents. They're talking about building of the temple. 2 Samuel 12:30, this is the NIV version. "David took the crown from their king's head," he's speaking about the Ammonite king who was the enemy, "and it was placed on his own head. It weighed a talent of gold, and it was set with precious stones." You get a lot of references to the talent, even in the book of Revelation, speaking about the rocks that would fall in the last days. Okay, So talents today actually means what it is. It's basically your skills, abilities, giftings, anything that is given to you by God. So that's exactly what talents is. So the second point here, speaking about Christ's death, resurrection, and return. Verse 14. From it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Skip over to verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. This is very symbolic of Christ's departure and his anticipated return. And that's what he's speaking about. When Christ returns as believers, we do have to give an account of what we have done with our God-given skills and abilities. There is definitely going to be a moment of reckoning where you would be in front of Christ and you would have to actually speak to him of how you have been useful to the kingdom of God. Very often we find many Christians think that salvation is a free pass to heaven, and that's where it ends. They don't realize that God has created them for a purpose beyond just salvation, and then they limit themselves to saying, I've been saved, that's about it, there's nothing more to it in my life. Okay, so just be aware of that, a little conscious about that. The third point I have here is acknowledgement of our giftings. Verse 15, the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, then he went away. This indicates that our abilities are different and his expectations for us are based on our capabilities. It's not about doing more, more, more. Serving the Lord cannot be stressful. He understands that and he realized that. And understanding our own skills and abilities is very, very important, and not to compare with someone else who is actually using it to serve the Lord or in their own life. Very often we fall into the trap of comparing our abilities with other people, and that's where disappointment starts setting in. It's like the 5 fingers of your hand, right? Each finger is different, but together it works together well as a hand. You can compare another finger to another one. It's different in size, shape, and functionality, but once they function together, they work very effectively. So that's the same with the ministry of Christ. Each person is created differently based on your abilities, and there's nothing to compare in those situations. A need to be deliberate is my next point. If you go to verse 16, he who has received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. Verse 17, so also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. Verse 18, but he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Probably this is a great relief for you. Christ here is not telling you that your talents, your abilities, your skills is only meant to just serve in ministry. He understands we live in a real world. He understands that we exist in society and we need to survive in this world. So there's nothing wrong about using your abilities to better your life on earth. But all he asks of you is your attitude about using it. He is looking at how would you set aside some time, at least, to be useful to the kingdom. So that's what he's talking about here. It's more of an attitude about of stewardship versus ownership. Very often we get this attitude amongst people saying that, you know, I did this. It's a God-given talent. I'm able to do these things. And so that is the wrong attitude. But acknowledging every moment in your life that it's a gift given by God and saying, God, you've given me these skills and so use me in every way possible. And having that acknowledgement is very, very important with our abilities, and that's exactly what is being stated here. This is a very interesting phrase, entering into the joy of the Lord. Verse 21 and 23, 2 key phrases here, so I'm just skipping, it's the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. There's one thing that's important here. There is an assurance. Serving faithfully with whatever your abilities are given, big or small, is acknowledged and rewarded by God. That is an assurance that you get here. enter into the joy of Master, an internal and everlasting state that motivates us to use our talents for His glory. That is something that is clear here. Very often we get confused. What's the difference between joy and happiness? Happiness, let me give you an example. You go get a brand new car, really love it, and you say, I want to take it on a drive, right, maybe up to Whistler and back. So you drive down to Whistler, Sea to Sky Highway, and you just stop at Squamish just to grab a cup of coffee. You go into the coffee shop, you grab your cup of coffee, you come out. As you're about to take your car off the parking lot, you just realize the guy who parked beside you has created a nice little scratch on the door of your car while backing out. Happiness gone. You're not happy anymore. He said, how could somebody do something like this? And you are like shaking your head, unbelievable. You know there's an insurance coverage, you can claim insurance, you can get, but that moment your happiness is gone. Joy is more something that's in you, which is placed to you by God. Once you accept Jesus Christ, that joy comes to you. And that's placed in your heart and never goes away. Let me give you an example. I mean, very often when you go to a children's hospital, there's usually a play area that they create in the waiting area so that the children are a little bit distracted when they come there. If you watch that play area, many of these children actually go to that play area, forgetting all about their illnesses while waiting for the doctor, will get into that play area and start interacting and playing with each other. They just forget all about it. That's what joy is in your heart. Everything could be going crazy around you. Everything's falling apart. And you meet these people and they say, I know all this thing is crazy, but I just have the peace of the Lord in my heart. I have a joy. And that's what exactly happens. So joy is eternal. It's internal and it's permanent. It doesn't go away anywhere. So that's something you want. So when you are invited to be enter into the joy of the Lord, when that's being stated again and again, it's just eternal peace. That's completely permanent. So that's what he's speaking about here. My next point is our relationship with God defines how we serve him. Verse 24 and 25. He also who had received one talent came forward saying, Master, this is a very important phrase there, I knew you would be a hard man, not that, the next one, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. Our relationship with God dictates how we serve. If you have a legalistic relationship with God, it's about scoring brownie points so that you don't get singled out and punished. Whereas if you have a relationship of love with God, how you serve completely defines who you are. When you do legalistic service, it bears no fruit. When you serve God out of love, that's when you actually realize the fruits of your investment. I just want to refer to one interesting phrase in one of the verses in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. I think that explains it. That service out of love is what's more important. In this case, this particular slave had a fearful relationship with his master, and that's why he was very, very fearful of what he would do. And he functioned out of fear and in his own wisdom, which we sometimes are guilty of doing. So my recommendation or suggestion to you is begin serving Lord in small ways or in little ways. Verse 26, but his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. It just shows how powerful God is. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received what was my own interest. God expects you to at least do the basic minimum. He doesn't have a high standard there. He just says, at least with your abilities, just do the basic thing you can. Do even the little thing that you can. He's not a taskmaster. He's not expecting you to do something extraordinary. He just says, be available, just do the basic, and I will work with you on that. So that's exactly. So do not function in your own wisdom. That is another thing that we hear from here. Do not think that digging and burying the money was the best thought. That's what he thought. He never sought the Lord for his master for what could be done with the money. He could have asked him, but he didn't do that in this case. I think a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Marcel mentioned his Uncle Ted. His cognitive abilities are limited, but all he knew was to serve at a Christian camp. All he did was to clean the yard and maintain it. Simple ways. His skills were limited, but he used it to serve the Lord. I think that was a fantastic example, and that's what we are called to do. At least get started somewhere. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. I'm just going to read this for you. Just listen very carefully. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Here it is. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. That should be a great relief for us. All God requires you is to be available to use your skills. He doesn't have an agenda. He's got the plans all figured out for you. You just got to show up. And once we show up, God will use it to bless your life and bless others' lives in it. So, what does surrendered service look like? How do you know I have these abilities, I have these capabilities, I want to dedicate them to God? How do you know that you are functioning from a surrender to God's Spirit? Let me give you an example. Imagine you're a talented musician. You play an instrument, you sing, you entertain crowds out there, and you are a great performer. But you come to know Christ, and suddenly you get an opportunity to serve in the worship ministry and maybe even become a worship leader. You have the skills and the abilities, but trust me, if you're a worship leader, it completely comes from a point of complete surrender to the Lord. Because when you come up here, it's not your skills and talents that will bring about the worship in the house of the Lord. It would just be God has to show up. And that dependency will clearly indicate to you that you are serving from a surrendered position. Example of a teacher. You've been teaching for 15 years. You could walk into a class with just 15 minutes of prep. You can deliver any information, but then you get chosen to become a Bible study leader. You have to facilitate a Bible study. You've never done this before. And then you have all the skills, the abilities of how to do facilitation, but unfortunately, you do not have the knowledge and the Word of God and the strength in that to actually facilitate a study. It comes completely down to you getting down on your knees and praying, Lord Jesus, I'm facilitating a Bible study today. Please be with me, help me. That is a surrendered position. I've given you two church examples. This one is Pastor Marcel and I were talking the other day, and this example is something that he introduced to me. You do nothing in church, but you working in a construction company, all you do is build a wall a day. And then you say, I just build walls. What am I going to do with this? But if you are willing and say, Lord, I'm just going to build a wall, but I surrender to you my skills and abilities, and I'm just going to trusting you to actually guide me and lead me to do what I'm doing. You're probably building the wall with another person. And while you guys are building the wall, you're probably speaking to this other person, and you're probably ministering into his life, and you will never know that. All God wants you is to just put up your hand and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to use my abilities for your glory. All that he asks of you to do that, and he will do the rest. Can we lose our giftings? Verse 28 and 29. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. If we do not lose our God-given abilities, we could lose our skills and talents, our giftings, whatever God's given us. We could. That's exactly what these verses speak about. However, God is very patient. He's a very patient man, and he would love you to come along. So God is there. it is actually a privilege to be used by God. He doesn't need us. As you can see, he reaps where he does not sow. It's very clearly stated. He has all the power to do. But for some strange reason, he would like us to become partners alongside in his ministry to do work for the kingdom. So that is something that God is consciously working with us. If we do not show up when he wants us to show up, he will definitely pass that opportunity on to another person. Because he's not going to keep waiting forever and ever, because his work still needs to be done. And that opportunity would be passed on to another person. In closing, Pastor Masal and I decided to share the same story this week. Okay, so that's there. So if you are a participant at the Alpha, or if you are one of the leaders at the Alpha, hold your peace and laugh when it's time to laugh. Okay? So I heard this from Pastor Greg Laurie. The demographics on a cruise ship range from the newly married to the nearly buried. So it's a very large range, age range there. So happened that an 18-year-old girl just fell off a cruise ship into the icy cold waters, and people were in shock. But hardly had they realized what had happened, there was this man who jumped right after her, pulled her out of the water, waited for the rescue boats to show up, the rescue boats, and when they pulled the pair on board the ship, they just realized, much to the amazement of the crowd and the embarrassment of the younger men on board, this man was in his late 70s, and he was the first one to jump to rescue the girl. So the captain of the ship felt very important to celebrate the new hero on board. So in his honor, he actually decided to host a banquet. So everybody on the ship showed up for the banquet, and the captain made a speech, and then the popular demand, the hero had to speak. So they passed the microphone to this hero on board the ship. He picked up the microphone and says, "I'd like to thank you all for this celebration that we are having of what I've done, but I have only one question for all of you here. Who pushed me?" My suggestion to you is, do not wait to be pushed by God. You probably will emerge a hero, but pushing doesn't actually result in a very pleasant experience. There's one experience we have in the Bible, which is the story of Jonah. 3 nights in the belly of a fish. I'm sure when he got up on the shores of Nineveh, he was saying, "Repent, repent," and he was sniffing both sides, because 3 nights in the belly of a fish is no fun. So that's exactly what God will do if you have to actually use you. So my suggestion would be is, yield to his love and kind directions as you go along. Think of ways where you can use your God-given abilities to serve him. Okay. Before I start in prayer, we do have a prayer team. So anybody who's on the prayer team, would you like to come forward? So we have a prayer gathering here. So if anybody needs prayer today, please feel free to come forward. Even if it's with relation to what we have discussed today or shared today, or it could be something that you are wanting to be prayed for. So please come forward to the left, and this is where we gather. And I would just like to close in prayer for today's session. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. Jesus, I thank you for the simplicity that you use in your parables to just teach us to get better and to establish a living relationship with you, Father God. I just thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you for the richness and the depth that we benefit from listening to your word and reading your word, O Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord Jesus. And if there's anyone here, Lord Jesus, who is lost, who would like to serve you with everything that they have, Lord, just speak to them personally, Lord Jesus Christ. Direct their path so that they would know what their purpose in this world is for, and that you would direct their paths, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in your most precious names. So folks, coffee is available outside, and if you've not witnessed the baptism before, just make sure that you grab brunch and come back by around 12:30, and so we will see something interesting happening here. And if you need prayer, the prayer teams are over here, so please come forward. Thank you very much, and have a great rest of the day.